How you doing, everybody? It is your guy, Taz the Angel, with more car talk, good conversation you can ride to. As you can see, the logo, I have it set up. I hope it doesn't fall. I've done a little maneuvering to try to get it to stay. So hopefully it does. But if, you know, for the ones who follow the podcast, you know that it's been probably about a month or so since I posted, and the main reason is, I'm sorry, before I get into that, start off with my thank yous. I want to say thank you to everyone who has been watching, who has been listening, who has been liking, commenting, sharing, all of those things. I want to say thank you for helping me, helping the podcast grow, for supporting me in the podcast. I just want to say thank you. And let me let these windows up. Okay. I just want to say thank you, guys. You know, like I always do, I always want to start out showing gratitude, because without you listening and watching, this wouldn't grow. I'd still do it, but it wouldn't grow. So the reason why I haven't posted is actually the topic of today's episode. And the last few episodes I've done have been kind of heavy mentally. You know, they've been, in my opinion, they've been more on the deep side, on the, you know, self-reflection, self-accountability. You know, they've been kind of heavy. So after I did my last episode, I thought I was going to do a light story time. And it ends up, I'm still going to do a story time, kind of, but it might not be so light. But it's not heavy either. It's more just me kind of talking about what's been going on lately. And like I said, the reason why I haven't posted is the name of the episode, which is I Tested Positive for the Coronavirus. So I'll first start off by saying how I believe I got it. Now, this day was, for me, a typical day. I either go to work and go home, or I go to work, take my son to work for lunch, go back to work, finish out my shift, and then I go home. I don't really do much. I don't require much. I'm a gamer. I watch my anime and things like that. And, you know, I just sit at the house. I'm a hermit. But that's just who I am and how I am. I don't really like to party. I don't go out much. I don't trust people already. Strangers, especially. But I definitely don't trust. I have hiccups. I apologize for this. But I definitely don't trust strangers with alcohol in their system. So for that, I don't really go to many places. But this day, also, because I'm a hermit and I don't really like going anywhere, I'm also very frugal. I'm very frugal. I do not like spending money unnecessarily. So when I'm at work, I usually pack and carry my lunch to work with me, and I eat whatever I brought with me. But this day, I didn't have any lunch. So I took my son to work. I'm going to not give details or names to keep down on the defamation of character charges. But I'm going to turn the light up a little bit. Yeah, I think that's better. But so I take my son to work, and there's a gas station right by where he works. Now, oh no, I just hit it with my elbow. Oh, but it didn't fall though. So, what I did was pretty effective. Because last time, before I started recording, ooh, I'm adjusting my seat. There we go. I want to sit up a little more straight. And I want to get the rest of that. But when I took him to work, where he works, it's a large building where a lot of people go in and out of. It's not a store or anything like that, but on any given day, there's probably literally thousands of people there. It's a 24-hour business, so there's no closing. And I'm sure, like I said, if not thousands, hundreds, easily. So the gas station that's right in front of it is going to usually get that kind, not as high of traffic, of course, but people heading there, leaving there, going in there to get food, which is what I did. Different things, something to drink before they get on the road, because a lot of people travel to get to that location. It's not just local people that go there. People come from out of town to go to that establishment. So, in that, like I said, the gas station that's connected gets quite a bit of traffic. And so I go there and I get what they call a cup of wedges, which is literally a cup filled with potato wedges. And I get 3 chicken tenders. And their chicken tenders are, they had a pretty good taste to them, but they were really big. Like, they were literally the size of my hand. And my hand is not small. I wear a size 16 ring, 13 for the pinky. 12 and a half sometimes, but so my hands are nowhere near small, so the chicken strips are literally the size of my hand, length and width. So 3 of those and a cup of wedges is more than enough to get me good on the lunch, right? So I get back to work, but traffic was kind of slow, so I didn't really have much time after I got back from dropping my son off at work to actually eat. So I only ate 1 of the tenders and a few of the wedges. And towards the end of my shift, I was ahead, so I was able to finish my lunch. It was around 6 o'clock, maybe 6:30. Yeah, closer to 6:30 actually, now that I think about it. I'm remembering some events that happened while and after I ate, and the timing of those was further away from 6 o'clock. So closer to 6:30. And when I got done eating, maybe about an hour to an hour and a half later, I started feeling weird. Now, I know my body, and this is going to sound strange when I say it, but it's just the truth. I know my body better than the average person knows their body. Like, I understand my body. I want to change it to understand, because I believe that's more fitting, especially with what I'm about to say next. So I can feel an air bubble all the way down here and maneuver it to where it comes up and the burp happens. I don't really have much trapped gas, because when I feel it, I can literally maneuver it up and out. So with that, I started feeling really weird towards the end of my shift. Throat started hurting, started getting a headache, and feeling kind of drained, like tired, fatigued, you know? So I get home and all of those things are amplifying. I'm feeling all of those, but it's just amplifying. It's getting more and more. My headache is becoming more intense. My energy is draining faster. My throat is hurting more intensely. And, well, so I tell my wife, hey, I need to go get tested again for COVID because I believe I have it. And she was like, well, you don't know. Don't just assume you have it and stuff. And I'm like, my body has gone down really quickly. I know my body. I don't get sick, guys. For the people who don't know me, you know, majority of my viewers, I don't get sick. I might get a small sickness one time a year, and that's usually if someone give it to me, like a cold or something like that, and I'm done with it within 3 days. Like, I do not get sick. So for me to go down that fast, I'm like, this isn't a regular sickness. And so I tell her that. I'm like, I know my body. I know what's going on. I need to go get tested. So the next day, which was a Friday, that was a Thursday when all of that happened. The next day, that Friday, I went and got tested and got a rapid, you know, the rapid results, where you can get your results back within a few days. I'm sorry, not a few days, within like an hour or two. Now, I know some places have it to where you can get your results in 15 minutes, but it's a little different here. Here at the, I don't want to say names, at the facility that I went to, they have the ability to do the swabs for your rapid testing, but they don't have the equipment to do the rapid testing. So you have to drive your sample. After they take it, they bag it up, you know, secure it. They put it in like, you know, it's a swab. So they put it in this little long, like, I don't want to say cardboard, but like paper. I'll just say paper. This paper pouch that probably is laminated or something on the inside to maintain the moisture, but of the sample, that is. But so they put it in that little pouch that's made for it, and then they put the pouch in a Ziploc bag, close it, and they put the phone number on. They put a post-it note with the phone number on it. That phone number is connected. I mean, that phone number belongs to the other establishment that you have to take your sample to, which is in a nearby city. I don't want to say its name either, but a nearby city. It's maybe 10, 12 minutes away. It's not a very far away thing. It's not difficult at all, but I think it's well worth it because you're able to get the rapid results instead of having to wait 4 to 5 business days, you know. So driving that little 10 miles down, 10 miles back is more than worth it, in my opinion. So of course I do it. Oh, and when I say tested again, a few months ago when I was not feeling so well, I just had a real bad headache. I woke up, I had a really bad headache and didn't want to go to work. So I call my job and I tell them, hey, I have a very intense headache. I'm not going to be able to come into work. And because I had the headache and no other symptom, because I only had the headache, they're like, yeah, we're going to need you to go ahead and get tested. And I'm like, but other symptoms would be involved. They're like, yeah, we know, but we're going to need you to go get that. Cool. So that's why I got the initial COVID test. And of course, it was negative then. Because I just had a headache. Took a few time out. Laid down. What's better? But, so, this one. Take it down there after they swab me, of course. Also, I would like to talk about the swabbing experience. I've heard a lot of people talk about how unpleasant it was and how far they had to put the swab up their nose and all that, and that just is not what I've ever experienced. Either time, I've had to take a total of three. You know, the first one that I told you about for the headache, which of course was negative. Then when I got the positive, I had to take another one to become negative before I could return to work. So I've taken a total of three of them. And what they do at the facility that I've gone to is they give you a Kleenex, tell you to blow your nose, and they swab right at the tip of both. Seal it, and you drive it to the other facility. And I've gotten a negative and a positive result from that type of swabbing, so it seems to be fairly accurate, because at the end of the day, they, if instead of reaching up to go get the stuff, if you just blow your nose, it'll bring the stuff down and they can just swab it. That seems logical to me. And like I said, when I knew I didn't have it, I was negative. When I pretty much knew that I had it, it was positive. And to when I got done with my quarantine, I didn't have it anymore. So it seems pretty accurate as well to use that. And I have to stop saying "and" so much because it makes things run on. So I get the test, drive it to the other place. And they call me later on that night and tell me it's positive. And to be completely honest with you, not just said alone, man, but to be completely honest with you, I was super scared. I was so afraid. I didn't want to go to sleep because I know a few people now who have passed away from it, and one died from it very quickly. Now, he did have pre-existing conditions. He had actually just come out of surgery. And if I get any of the facts of this wrong, please forgive me. No, it is not intentional. I believe that what I'm saying is accurate, but I could be, you know, misquoting a few details. I don't believe I am, but there's always a possibility because it's not my life. I didn't experience it. I wasn't physically there. This is what I was told by my dad. My dad was very close with this guy. I don't want to say his name. But rest in peace to him. And my love and condolences to the rest of his family. He was the only guy that I knew that my dad could completely push himself with. When they would work out together, and he was the only guy that I'd ever seen my dad be able to go all out with, because my dad was so much stronger than the average person, that, you know, the people who wanted to work out with him were usually working out with him so they could get stronger because they saw how strong he is. And I say he is because he still works out. And he's 61 this year. He turned 61 this year, still working out. So this guy, you know, was, like I said, he and my father were really close, and I knew him really well. I wasn't close with him like my dad was, because when I first met him, I might have been like 11 or 12 years old. But I knew him through my growing up and playing high school football and all that. Like, he, my dad and I, we would all work out together. And again, he was the only guy that, like, if my dad wanted to do a max out day, he had to call him, because he needed him to be the spotter. Now, when I got in high school, I could be the spotter, but I couldn't get under that weight. But he wanted someone who could both spot him and get under that weight and get it off of him too. And that was him. So he passed very quickly after contracting the coronavirus. He had had, if I'm not mistaken, knee surgery and contracted the coronavirus from the hospital. And while he was in there healing from the knee surgery, that's when he contracted it. And his sister went to go get a change of clothes. And on the way back, she receives a call saying that he's not here anymore. And that's all I could think about because all of my symptoms came on so fast. So the first day, I was really afraid. Of course, I did a lot of praying. Watched some of my favorite ministers. Apostle Letha Butler from Straightway. One of my favorites. My favorite. Pastor Keon Henderson of the Lighthouse Church in Houston, Texas, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, and Apostle Letha Butler, she's the pastor of Straightway Ministries in Utica, Mississippi. That is my home church, always will be. So I was doing all of those things. I already have life insurance and the beneficiaries. I don't really have many physical valuable things, honestly, to like divvy out in the will or anything like that. The main thing that I have is the life insurance. So that's already in place. The beneficiaries are already in place. Amount and all that. So I stay up until 4:30 to where my body just, I just couldn't stay awake anymore. And I lay down in the chair. We have a chair with an ottoman. I lay down in that, and that's what I sleep in for, you know, several days. Because I'm quarantined, so I don't want to sleep, you know, in my bed with my wife and then, you know, give it to her. That would be selfish. So I sleep in a chair, you know, with an ottoman. Super uncomfortable. At least at that time. Because I've taken some great naps in that chair. So it's, I believe it's more because I was sick. But it was super uncomfortable at the time, though. Terrible. Go to sleep. But before I go to sleep, I set an alarm. Even though I didn't have anywhere to go, because I'm quarantined, I can't go anywhere, but I set an alarm because in my mind, I'm telling my soul and my body that I plan on waking up the next day or later on that day, since it was, you know, already after 4:00 in the morning. Wake up, obviously, because I'm here talking to you, and I feel so much better mentally. Body is still not feeling the best. Early on, the main symptoms that I had were the headaches, body aches, fatigue, and super unstable body temperature. I would be literally shivering one moment, and I put on sweatpants and a hoodie, and then I'm pouring in sweat. I unzip the hoodie, shivering again. So it sucked. It sucked. There were a few times where I actually had to go to sleep with a full outfit on. And I'll just say that that's not how I regularly sleep. No details required. So I had to sleep with an entire outfit on, like the hoodie and sweatpants. I would have to sleep with the whole thing on, and then I wake up to the hoodie freaking soaking wet from the sweat. Excuse me. But later on, the headaches and throat ache. I forgot to mention that throat ache. Headache and throat ache went away. Excuse me. They went away. And I was taking emergency Tylenol and Mucinex. Those were the three things that I were taking, that I was taking. Those are the three things that I was taking at the time. Constantly. So the fatigue, though, was probably the most prominent issue, because everything I did made me tired. The example I tell everybody, because when I got back to work, of course, people are pulling up their mask when they see me and, you know, dodge me and stuff. And I expected one thing about me, and I've said this before on here, when I expect something, when I know something's going to happen, it does not and cannot bother me when it does. I already knew it. So get back to work, people are, as soon as they see me, they're throwing their mask up, running around, trying to dodge me and stuff, and it's cool. This will be its own story, so I don't want to say it right now. I'll return back to things dealing with work shortly. So, you know, the people were asking me, you know, about my experience, and what I said to them is what I'm about to say now. The most prominent symptom, not worst, but most prominent symptom, was the fatigue. My wife went and got a bunch of soup, of course, and that's what I was eating. And she made me a bowl of chicken noodle soup. It took me 4 sittings. And she had some Toll House crackers, the butter Toll House crackers, super good. I love those. Dang it, I said a brand. It is what it is. So she makes the soup and brings the crackers, and I started off trying to eat the crackers. I ate 2 of them, could not eat them. So I started eating the soup, and I would eat a little bit and just feel tired, and just I'm sitting on the ottoman, and the chair is behind me, because of course the ottoman is in front of the chair. So I take a few bites and I'm like exhausted from just chewing, and I just lay back like I am gassed. So I had to do that 4 times to finish that soup. And when I got done, I would put like 2 crackers in my mouth, drink some of the broth from the soup, and then eat it like that. So I was able to do that to eat the crackers. But it took me 4 total sittings to finish a bowl of soup and some crackers, because everything made me tired. I couldn't even really play the game that much, because I couldn't get excited, because the moment I'm like, oh, what in the world? Like, I would just want to collapse. Everything made me tired, man. That fatigue sucked. So this one day, it's like a week later now, and this one day, I feel great. I'm feeling close to normal. And I want to say it was like a Monday. And my parents, you know, of course, my parents and sister, my family, they were calling daily, all of them. So I'm getting a minimum of 3 calls a day, which I don't really get many calls because I don't really talk to people like that. But so I'm getting, you know, all these calls. And my mom calls me this day and she's like, hey, how you feeling? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm feeling super good. You know, the fatigue is starting to go away, because at this point I've been drinking emergency constantly, and I've got some multivitamins as well, which is something that, you know, the nurses and, well, the doctor and the nurses out in the facility told me. Yeah, I'm right. I just had to make sure I was right. They gave me some paperwork and stuff. When I got the swab, she gave me some paper and was like, hey, if you test positive, you know, these are things that'll help. And on there it had emergent, well, it had, it didn't have the name emergency. It just had vitamins A, B, C, D, and zinc. Yeah. So she said basically just a multivitamin, so it'll have all of those. And I got emergency, which has a different type that includes vitamin D and zinc in it. So I started drinking that one instead of the regular emergency that I had. So I'm feeling really good this day. I'm telling my mom, yeah, man, I'm feeling good. I'm starting to bounce back. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm going to lift this up just a little bit. Okay. So I feel like my head was too close to the top of the camera. Like, got to see all this, man. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I tell her, yeah, man, I'm feeling great. You know, my energy's better. I'm able to, you know, play the game, watch TV. I'm feeling back to my normal self, right? Very next day, actually later on that night, I start feeling weird again as far as my breathing is kind of labored at times. Like I'm having to put in effort to breathe. And when I was a child, I was asthmatic. As I started playing high school sports and stuff, I was able to work out of the asthma, but as a child, it was bad. I had to keep a pump, an asthma pump with me. And there was also one at my school, so we had to get multiple. Because if I was out and about, then I would have to keep it with me. But otherwise, it would stay at home. And when I went to, like on school days, it would stay at home. When I went to school, I would have one there. And when I got home, I would have one there. But if I went like to my godbrother's house, which I would do all the time, you know, as a kid, if I would go to cousin's house anywhere, you know, other than school, basically, I would have to take the one at home with me. I had to keep it with me. Because any moment, dust, running around, getting too excited, would just mess my breathing up. So I was familiar with that feeling. And I'm familiar with the mental fortitude you have to fight asthma. Because when you have an asthma attack, it is very easy to panic. Because out of nowhere, in the middle of your day, you are now straining to breathe. And if you don't have have composure that panic will make it worse, because you will start fighting for the air in your and that's how people can, you know, hyperventilate. You have to be able to slow it down. I just dissed you. Shout out to Conceited. You have to be able to slow it down and, you know, maintain your composure. So when it happens, you can have to kind of make it happen, because at this point your chest is constricted, so it's not able to, your lungs are constricted, so they're not able to easily hold the amount of oxygen that they normally easily hold. You have to make it hold that amount. So, I'm familiar with that. I'm familiar with having to slow down and make sure I'm breathing. But as time went by, my breathing The breathing alone felt weird. Without the lung constriction, breathing felt weird. And what I mean is, when I would take the deep breath to try to make my lungs hold that oxygen, the air would feel really cold. And because of that, it would like, you know, it would kind of push it back out. Because, you know, when you're cold, it's like, you know, it's kind of, your breathing gets choppy. So that air, when I would try to inhale, it would feel cold and kind of constrict my lungs and kind of push that air back out. And I called the clinic that I went to get tested and told them what was going on. This is the next day now. I'm sorry. So then when I wake up, after I started feeling that way towards the nighttime, went to sleep, woke up, it was worse. That's when it was feeling cold, and it was hard for me to hold the air in and keep the oxygen, basically. So because of that, I called the clinic that I went to get tested, and I tell them what's going on. And the lady was like, okay, it was the front desk. She said, okay, I'm going to tell the nurses and have them call you back. They never called back. So then I tell my wife, hey, this is what's going on. Because, you know, usually as men, we try to just ignore things and just keep going, like, nah, I'll be all right, you know. But because I already have the coronavirus, I don't have the luxury of saying, nah, I'll be all right. Because I'm already in, you know, in a compromising position. So I don't have the luxury of, like, brushing any medical issues off. So I tell my wife, and she's like, I would go into the emergency room. And honestly, in my mind, I'm like, when you gotta do all that? Like, I felt like that was excessive. I'm like, I'm just having a little trouble breathing. Like, and I know that sounds so crazy, but this is how a lot of people think, and a lot of dudes especially. I'm just having a little trouble breathing, man. I'll be all right. We ain't got to go there. Because I don't feel like it's extreme enough. I don't feel like it's an emergency. Emergency room for emergencies. I didn't feel like it was an emergency. I'm specifically saying feel like, not think. Feel like. Excuse me. So, I don't know if y'all heard that. It was like, and then I burped. I pushed that up. Like, I felt it, and I pushed it up, and then, anyway, so, get to the emergency room, and I'm sitting down in the front, because she called them and let them know what was going on, so I didn't have to fill out any, and I had been there before, so I didn't have to fill out the paperwork. I already had my insurance card and information stuff in the file, so didn't need any of that. So I'm sitting in a chair right here. Walk through the door. You walk through the door, and it says, wait for nurses to open this door. It's a door that takes you from outside, and then there's this little area in the middle. I don't know what that's called, honestly. Just an area. And then this door, when it opens, it takes you inside of the hospital. So it's, you're outside, you go through doors, and you're in this little middle area of just space. And then you walk through these other doors to actually be in the hospital. So I'm sitting at these doors where it says, wait for the nurses to open the door, for about 3 minutes. The nurse and this dude, I don't know what his position is. So I don't want to throw it out, but I know that initial lady is a nurse, because like I said, I've been there before, so I knew her. So they look at me when I first walk through the doors from outside, when I first get into this little middle area, I'm like, hey, I'm here. They both look at me and acknowledge me, and they continue talking. So I'm like, maybe they're talking about something very important. This is an emergency room. I don't know. After 3 minutes, I didn't care anymore. I just opened the door. It was one of those, you know, the automatic doors, like when you walk into grocery stores, how they are automatic, the automatic sliding doors. It was one of those, but what it was, the automatic part was turned off, so you had to physically slide it open and closed. So after those 3 minutes, because I'm looking at my watch, so after those 3 minutes, I just and walk in and sit down, because I've already had coronavirus for a week. I'm having trouble breathing, and y'all are just sitting over here talking. No. So I just walk in and sit down. So I'm sitting down here. The nurses are right here in, I'm sorry. The nurses are right here in this little station, you know, behind the glass and stuff. And I'm sitting right here where I'm able to see them. Right here, there's this little divider, a partial divider. And there are more seats. And there are a total of about 8 to 12 feet away. Not far. So when the doctor finally comes out, she goes to the divider and is like, hey, can you come sit over here? And I looked at her, and I looked at the chairs that were about 8 feet away from me. And I just look away, because in my head, I'm like, you are a stupid human. Why are you making me get up and move 8 feet? Whatever you have to ask me why I'm sitting there, because I'm obviously not feeling good, because it's 11:30 at night and I'm in the emergency room. So I was so mad that I couldn't talk, because if I said things, I would have had an attitude, been snappy. So I just couldn't talk. So she asked me again, hey, sir, can you come over here? And I just get up silently, just get up, sit down. What's your name, birthday? You know all the information they ask. Why are you here? So I go back. I don't think I should really detail this too long, because it'll make the story way too long. But so I go back there, wait forever for testing. They keep telling me to take a pee test. I'm sorry, to give them a urine sample, not a test, but a sample. But I'm like, I don't have to pee, so can I get some drinks? So they bring in 2 little cups of ice water. So I'm drinking on them, and then the doctor who's here to put the hot IV up and all that, she's like, she hooks up everything, and she gets ready to leave, and I'm like, hey, y'all got any food in there? Because I literally haven't eaten that entire day. I'm like, hey, do y'all have anything that's edible around here? She's like, no, you can't eat or drink anything until you have your checks, your scan. They basically did an x-ray on my chest. So you can't get that until you get your scan. You can't eat or drink. And I was like, well, they brought me water in here, so why can't I get nothing to eat? She's like, oh, no, they weren't supposed to bring that either. Don't drink anymore until after the scan. And I'm like, but I don't have to pee, and I need to drink something so I can give you the urine sample. She's like, nah, just wait. And as soon as she walked out, I just started back drinking again, honestly. Because I hadn't eaten or drank anything that day. I may have had an 8-ounce cup of emergency earlier, but that's all I had, because I was in the bed all that day. So, wait. I finally pee and give them the urine sample, and they never use it. They never use it. And they aggravate the crap out of me, because they kept saying, hey, we need that urine sample. Hey, can you get that urine sample? They would, when they left, they were calling in on the little, you know, the mic that be like connected to the bed or whatever. Hey, did you get that urine sample? No. But when I finally did, I call up there, hey, I got the urine sample done. Can I get a blanket? It's cold in here. I'm on the phone with my wife because, you know, she's calling, checking up on me, see how long it goes. We're on the phone for 1 hour and 5 minutes. I still didn't get my blanket, and they still haven't gotten this doggone urine sample that they rushed me to give them. They just kept, they called and asked for the urine sample at least 4 times. At least 4 times, which in like, within like 30 minutes. They were like really rushing me on that, which is why I had to say, I'm going to go ahead and drink this, even though you told me not to. I need to drink this water so y'all would leave me alone. I'd give you the urine sample. So all of that happens. They finally come in there, take me to get my scan, go back to the room, wait another 20 minutes, and like, hey, yeah, you have pneumonia. So we're going to write your prescriptions. You can go home now. Blah, blah, blah. They give me the papers to leave, the prescriptions and all that. And I'm getting my stuff to walk out. And the urine sample is still there. They never even used it, bro. I was so mad about that. Still am, as you can tell. I'm still harboring some feelings about that unused urine. Because what are you going to do with that? You're just going to pour it down the toilet because I'm already gone? Why did you rush me for it if you weren't even going to use it? Anyway. I have pneumonia now, and that's what was wrong with my breathing. And my wife has, I don't want to tell her business, but she has some conditions to where she's had to have, some asthma pumps, at points in time. So I was able to use one of the pumps that she wasn't using anymore. And that was one of the things that helped me through. And oddly enough, I don't really drink, but I usually have some type of alcohol for if I want to drink something, which is rare. And more so if I have a friend or two over that drinks and, you know, I'll let them have some. So, I think, I'm like, man, you know, alcohol is sterile and, like, sanitizes things. I'm talking about, like, just the element of alcohol. And I'm like, that whiskey I got in there is, like, 70 proof. So, like, they got a lot of pretty high alcohol percentage. I wonder if I drink a little bit of it, will it help? Take a little shot of it. And it actually opens up my lungs. And I'm able to breathe a little bit. And I'm like, yo, this is weird. Because I don't really drink. And now that I have pneumonia on top of having the coronavirus, alcohol is helping me breathe better. Weird. So, do all of that. Now I'm taking the pneumonia medicine that they gave me, and I'm getting more energy now. I'm like a week and a half into it. I only got like 3-4 more days before, you know, I'm able to go retest, and that's when I take my last day of pneumonia medicine. So I'm able to, you know, move around. My fatigue is pretty much gone. I can play the game. I'm talking trash on the phone with my homies, you know, all that stuff. I'm feeling like me now. So I get tested again after 14 days, excuse me, and it's negative. So, woo! This is Thursday evening. I'm sorry. No, I'm right. This is the Thursday evening, because remember, I tested on Thursday, so 14 days later, it's another Thursday. So, I test on Thursday. They tell me later on that day that I'm negative. So the Monday I had to return back to work. Get to work. Of course I got my mask on because I know people gonna be like, oh, are you back already? Yeah, I've been gone for like 17 days, boy. Because I quarantined for 14 days, but my work shift, like when I was negative on that Thursday, my shift had me still off for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I didn't return till Monday. So that Thursday was 14 days. 17, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday made 17, and then I returned on the 18th day, which was that Monday. This Monday that just passed. So get to work. Of course, people, man, how'd you feel? Are you okay now? Do you still feel bad? Like, basically trying to fish to see if I still am sick so they can dodge me some more. And I'm cool with people dodging me because I don't really like people like that. I love y'all, though. But, I love y'all, though. You hear me? But most people, I don't really like them. Another story for another day. So I tell them, you know, all the stuff that I've told y'all in a much shorter form. Why are you pulling up right behind me? Anyway, so I'm sorry, this is going to bother me that this car is just parked right behind my vehicle. I'm in my driving, my driveway. And instead of driving forward past my vehicle, they're like parked right behind me, sideways. Like, I'm parked like this. They're like this, just right behind the doggone vehicle. And why? You can just drive up a few more feet and still park and not be blocking my vehicle. Why are you doing that? Doesn't make sense to me. And like I said, you know, I don't be liking people because they do stuff like this. So while I'm there at work, about 8:30, the HR person comes in the lab, quality lab, because I'm a quality tech, comes in the lab and is like, hey, you can't be here. And I'm like, I tested negative, though. No, you can't be here. You got to come here to my office now. So I go to the office and I'm going to try my best to not throw a gender out. Because again, I just don't want people trying to be like, oh man, this person, blah, blah. So the HR person is like, hey, you have to leave because when was your last symptom? And I was like, well, the last day I took my medicine was last Tuesday. Today is Monday, so that was 6 days ago. I haven't had any symptoms since that day. And honestly, I hadn't had any COVID or coronavirus symptoms since before that. Those are pneumonia symptoms that I was feeling. She's like, okay, yeah. I try my best. I'm sorry. The HR person is like, well, the policy says you have to be gone for 14 days after your last symptom. And I'm like, even after I test positive and the hospital is telling me that I don't have this, I still can't be here because of a day that I had a symptom. It's not when I test negative. And I contact the clinic and they load my results up on a portal. I screenshot that result and I send it to her work phone to show that I'm negative. I've not really said she is over with. So she's like, yeah, no, you still have to leave. So your return date will be the 17th, which is the next Tuesday, but I'll be scheduled off. So it'll actually be next Wednesday. And I'm like, man, this is stupid. So she gives me like short-term disability paperwork and I'll let them fill out, blah, blah, blah. So now I leave because I'm the type of person that when I'm told something and when something is set in stone, I just adjust to it. So now I leave there. I go to Walmart. I go to the store. So I'm finna get me. I already have bacon and maple flavor sausage at the house. I'm finna get some eggs, some butter, some cheese. I'm finna make me a bomb breakfast. Get on the game, go crazy. Because me and the homies have been playing the Division 2 heavily lately. So I'm like, I'm finna be in there, you hear me? Go to Walmart, pick up my stuff, boom, boom, get back to the house. It's like 10:15-ish. My wife is getting ready to leave the house because she has a job interview. So when I got ready to leave work, the HR lady, she told me about the short-term disability, but she said that she was going to contact me later with the actual stuff, you know, the phone number to call or the website or whatever. So she calls me while I'm sitting in the car because it feels so good. It was a beautiful day. It's like a nice 70, 72 degrees, partially cloudy, not much sun, nice breeze. It just felt amazing. So I'm just sitting in the car with the windows down, just like taking in, you know, nature as much as you can sitting in the car. I could have sat on the porch, but still, I just pulled up. So got the windows down. I'm just sitting back, just enjoying the day. Get the call from the HR lady, and I'm expecting it to be her being like, hey, yo, this is the phone number, the website. She's like, nah, I just got off the phone with corporate. You can come back to work now, and we'll just pay you for the difference since we sent you home. What? So now I got to come back to work? Man, I ain't trying to see y'all, bruh. Man, I got my breakfast, you know what I'm saying? So I tell, I'm like, hey, well, you know, it's going to be a little while. I ran to the store since y'all sent me home. Oh, okay, that's okay. Just come back when you're ready. So I take all the bags in. You know, it wasn't but a few of them. But I take the bags in. I'm like, man, forget this. I'm getting my breakfast. I go to the first place. I'm not going to say their name. They stop serving breakfast at 10:30. It's 10:37. I'm like, man, forget y'all. Right across the, like, literally, this is the facility. Not even across the street because there's no street separating them. I just drive out of one parking lot into the, I mean, out of one piece of property, just drive right into the other one. It's just a little strip of concrete that connects the two of them. They're like built on the same plot right beside each other, basically. So I just drive out one and go straight to the next one. Get two sausage, egg, and cheese, sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits. And I'm like, man, they're not going to stop my breakfast. I had plans for breakfast. I'm getting that. So I tell the homies what's going up. I'm like, man, you know, work, they being stupid. They didn't send me away. They didn't tell me to come right back and stuff. Man, these dudes being stupid. I'm finna give me something to eat. So I eat the biscuits, right? And they're super good. I'm relaxed. They done made me sleep in that. That itis done got hold to me now. So I hit the homies back up. I'm like, hey, y'all, I think I'm gonna have to take me a nap first. I gotta take me a nap. I can't go to work right now. I ain't gonna be good to nobody. And they've had so many different things to happen since I was gone. Why am I doing that? Since I was gone. So I know I'm having to learn stuff when I get back. I'm gonna have to be retrained on, hey, this is the new way we do that. Hey, it's the new way we do that. Then, so I take my nap and go back. Now, this is what I was saying. I was gonna talk about work, and I'm reaching an hour, so I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up pretty quickly. Hopefully, I'm gonna try my best, I promise. So get to work or back to work. The entire quality department had been quarantined. When I was gone, there was a person who came in from another facility. I'm not saying it's the location or the name. This person was positive and was walking around. That person had to train the entire quality lab because they were telling them all the new things that we were going to do. That person also was out on the floor with the different supervisors, with some of the different operators. So multiple people had to get quarantined and tested positive they tested positive and had to get quarantined because of their interaction with him. So when I first got back to work, being that it was quality people that got quarantined, and it was like just a couple of days after I got quarantined, they were assuming that I was the reason why the whole doggone quality department was quarantined. I'm like, nah. It's this human that came here to train them that messed them all up. So I had to straighten that out because I'll take blame for what I've done. I'll be accountable for what I've done. But you ain't going to put no evil on me, Ricky Bobby. You can't do that. You can't. I just can't let it happen. Whew. So that was my experience with COVID. I hope I never have any form of experience with it again, be it me, my family, my friends, anyone that I care anything about, anyone that I know. And I don't want to have any other experiences with it. So, with that being said, I am going to wrap this up because we're at an hour now. I appreciate you guys for listening. I definitely appreciate you guys for the donations. Cash App is, my Cash App is $TazTheAngel. That's TazzDaAngel. Let's move that a little bit closer. Oh! That sound effect was funny. TazzDaAngel. PayPal is, if I'm not mistaken, they have it called PayPal or PayMe or whatever. But either way, my name on there is also TazTheAngel. So I would prefer that you use Cash App because it's much more simple. And yeah, we're just going to do that because I'm almost done anyway. But yeah, so I would much rather you send it through Cash App, but whatever means you have, I appreciate, I'm thankful. Yeah, I appreciate all of that. Shout out to the people who listen, who share, like, comment, watch, all of these things. I appreciate you guys for listening and supporting. I'll be back with more car talk. Good conversation you can ride to. I love y'all. And y'all have a great day, morning, afternoon, night. All of it. Make it great. See y'all soon.